Please take your Bibles and turn to John 13, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. John 13, verse 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, "You're not all clean." And so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Some denominations practice foot washing as part of their worship service. Foot washing was never done as an act of worship in the New Testament. It was done as an act of service. We find that in 1 Timothy 5, verse 10. It was the mark of a godly widow to wash feet. But here we find where Jesus is talking to his apostles about their conduct. He was concerned about the way they were acting toward one another, how that they were feuding over greatness. You'll notice in Mark 9, where we read that he came to Capernaum. Jesus came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, he called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last. Last of all, and servant of all." It's hard for me to imagine the apostles of Jesus feuding with one another, fussing with one another, arguing over greatness in the kingdom. And what Jesus was teaching them and wanted to teach them, that greatness in his kingdom would not consist of ruling, but serving. It's about serving, not about ruling. It's not about being in control. And so here Jesus is the example of service, the standard to follow. And here Jesus was one that found joy in doing this. He found contentment in washing feet. And he rendered it a privilege and a joy. And man, myself, and you as well, we need to follow the example that we see here on the part of Jesus of serving one another. You know, people are so often unhappy. And I believe that the reason why most people are unhappy is because they're so caught up in themselves. It's because of self-centeredness. We live in a society that encourages that. That's all about me. It's all about me. After all, I'm number one. And everyone else is behind that. And so we have been brought up in that. We see that kind of attitude on the part of many. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, was asked to define the American religion. And he said, first of all, there is a God. And he said, last of all, the best way to serve God is to serve people. Now, he didn't come up with that idea. That's taught in God's word. It's about serving one another. And Jesus is teaching this principle right here. You compare the apostles' behavior to that of Jesus. And here they are just fussing with one another and feuding. And even Luke even talks about it, that there was also a great dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And here they were in competition. And if we would learn service, blessed are we. Happy are we. I want you to notice again in our reading, there's some things that Jesus knew. In John 13, verse 1, he knew this, that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father. He knew that his life on earth was winding down. He was coming near to the end of his life, and he had to deal with this problem among those men who are going to carry on his ministry after he left the earth. But here's something else we notice in verse 2. He knew his enemies. He knew that even one of his own, how that the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, to betray him. So he knew his enemies. And he also knew that the Sanhedrin council were out to get him. And he also knew his identity in verse 3. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God. He knew his identity, that he was from God, and that he was God in the flesh. But here's what he really knew. He knew that the apostles were feuding over greatness. And with all that in his mind, he looked beyond due to his love to the end. And folks, this is what we find on the part of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Before he went to the cross, we see the heart of a servant. The heart of a servant. This is the model that I am to follow. It's the model that you, as Christians, are to follow. It's crucial that we find this type of service, not just admire it, say, isn't that something, how that Jesus, as he's getting near the end of his life, what he does, he stoops to wash feet. Isn't that wonderful what he did? I mean, that's something to really be admired. It's not for us to admire it. It's that we take on that kind of service, that we commit to serving as he did. So I want us to look this morning and why this kind of heart works. It worked for him. It'll work for us. And I know that there are some folks that I've known in my life who've passed on who were servants. And they set great examples. And I need to be that kind of person as well. And I believe all of us do. But this type of service doesn't worry about my rights. We have so many people today that are concerned about their rights. And many lawsuits result because of people are concerned about, my rights have been violated, and so I'm going to take this to court. I'm going to fight this because my rights have been violated. No, with this type of service, we might have to stoop to others' problems. We might have to look around and look around and see that there are people that are having problems in their life, and I might have to get involved. So often we don't want to get involved. It's kind of like, you know what, leave me alone. But no, we need to open our eyes and look around. It may be that I may be sitting down for dinner or supper one night and somebody calls. And my supper might get cold. My feet might get dirty. But see, the service that we offer to God and others has got to be with the proper spirit, with the proper attitude. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." Notice in Romans 12, verse 10 through 11, again we find where the Bible says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to whom? To one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want you to notice in Matthew 25, something that we read here on the part of what Jesus said in regards to service. In Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 34. Matthew 25, starting with verse 34. We'll read down through verse 46. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I believe what he's saying is that when we serve others, we're serving him. And when we don't serve, we're not serving him. I believe that's what he's getting across there to us all. There's a song that I love in the hymn book called Others. And I'd like for you to join in with part of the song, not all of it, but part of it. But notice the reading from Philippians 2, verse 4. "Look not everyone or every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Number 92, if you're looking at a hymn book. "Oh, me soul, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful type of service does not expect to be served in return. Kind of like this idea of trade-off. You know, Joe, I'll do something for you, but you've got to promise me you'll do something for me. It's not that type of service. Not that at all. No one asked Jesus to wash their feet. He just got up and did it. But no one washed the feet of Jesus on this occasion. He didn't ask for it. If he had, that would not be service. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to wash your feet, but I want you to wash mine in the process. I mean, I'll wash all of you, but when I'm done, would somebody please wash my feet? Because I've been walking a lot lately, and my feet are dirty. No, he didn't say that. Not at all. You know what he was wanting to do? He wanted to start a trend, a pattern. He was setting an example. That's what he said in verse 15. For I have given you an example. I've given you a trend or something that I'd like for it to become a trend, but I've given you a pattern that you should do as I have done to you. This is what he wanted to see them doing after he left this earth. Where it leads, I'll follow. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And this is one of those examples he left for us that he wants us to follow. Oh, sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where is our following? Where is our love? Father, yes, I am. Where is our following? Where is our love? Follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love, Jesus is strong. Sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He's a great example, is a pattern for me. Where is our following? Where is our love? Follow us on our way. Where is our following? Where is our love? Follow Jesus every day.
This type of service doesn't wait on others to begin. It goes first. It doesn't wait. Suppose Jesus sat there hoping that someone would get up and do what he was about to do, or do something that was kind. But he's the only one who got up. The only one who got up. Imagine all the rest of them there just sitting there, fussing with one another over greatness. And no one notices Jesus getting up with those towels and water basin. You know, anyone can look around and see things that need to be done and wait for others to begin. I don't know how many times I've heard brethren, suppose, for example, in a business meeting say, you know, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to go visit people, and we need to go out before a meeting and hand out advertisements to people around in the neighborhood. You know, we doesn't always mean me. Good ideas, but sometimes it doesn't always mean that I'm going to do it, but I've got a great idea. I think others ought to do it. But anyone can do that, but a servant just doesn't look. He gets up and does it. And that's what we see on the part of Jesus. And I think what goes along with this, that this type of service will serve alone if necessary. He didn't request it. I don't see Peter in this reading of John 13 where Peter was on the other side of the table washing feet. What we see is Jesus serving alone. He's doing this. I've been impressed with people. Maybe I shouldn't say impressed, but I have been impressed, but I've been greatly encouraged in watching some people who are older who haven't retired from serving the Lord. They're looking for something that they can do. And they find things to do on their own. When I first moved to where we live right now, I'm no longer in full-time work where we are, but we're still members of a congregation where I served as the evangelist for 17 years. And there was a lady that, when we first moved there, came to me and said, I noticed you're putting out a bulletin every week. We haven't had one here in years, but I really like that bulletin. Could you make up about 25 extra every week? And I said, well, yeah. What are you going to do with them? She said, well, I like to go around and pass them around Sunday afternoon, go to the nursing home and go to some homes of people that I know that live out here in the county and hand those out. At the time, she was around 75, 76 years old. Now she's in her 90s, and she's still doing it. She's still taking those bulletins and doing that, and nobody ever said a word to her about doing that. Like, why don't you go do that? She just came up with that on her own. It gives her the opportunity to go visit with people, people who are Christians, some that are not, to encourage them. And many of them are asking about what's going on. And I mean, it's something that she does on her own. I'll tell you something else that happened one time. It was announced from the pulpit one Sunday morning that someone had left the water on in one of the restrooms on a Wednesday night, and it ran all day Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and someone just forgot to turn the faucet off. And she heard that, and she can't hear very well, but she heard that. And so she made it her job, nobody asked her to do it, of going in every restroom in that building and being sure that every faucet was turned off. She still does it today. She'll even go in the nursery where mothers have gone in there with their babies and left dirty diapers in the trash can, and she goes in there and takes them and goes across the street and puts them in the dumpster. Nobody asked her to do that. She just does that on her own. And she serves on, she's never asked anybody, would you help me out here? No, she just does it. We have another lady that's great about sending cards when you have a birthday or anniversary or something like that. And all these years that we've been there, I never bought a stamp for her. And she sends out cards every week to those who are sick, and as I said, birthdays and anniversaries. And a few months ago, I just kind of all of a sudden a light came on in my head, like, man, where's this been? How come I've been so delayed in thinking of this? And I went down one day and I thought, you know, I think I'll buy just an extra book of stamps and give them to Joyce. And she told me, you don't need to do that. I know I don't need to. I don't have to. But something I'm sorry that I have waited so long. It's been 18 years you've been doing this. And she said, well, I really appreciate you doing it, but you didn't have to. I said, I know, Joyce, but I should have done it. And many of us should have, but we really appreciate what you've done. But she never did it for any kind of praise at all. She just served alone, and that's fine with her, and she's happy about doing it. You know, sometimes my enthusiasm can cool if others don't seem to like my ideas. And sometimes what can happen to us, we may get our feelings hurt, and just say, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. I quit. You know, that didn't work. But you know what that shows on our part? Immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. When we act that way, I'm guilty. I've done that. I'm ashamed of that. That's not the type of servant heart that what Jesus is teaching here. This kind of servant's heart does not quit when others don't share in my enthusiasm. It keeps working, even alone. I liked what a high school football coach where I used to attend years ago, this high school, but he was a great coach there for a number of years until he passed away. But he used to tell his coaches, he said, you cannot coach anyone that you haven't built a relationship with. He said, you've got to serve before you can lead. I thought that was really good. You've got to serve before you can lead. So what's our motivation? I know what our motivation should be, and I think you do too. It's to please God. We've been talking about worshiping God in song, and that it's not about us. It's not about us in the pew who are singing. It's not about the leader. It's about God. And we're certainly going to benefit, aren't we, by being involved in that. Now, that's a benefit we have from it. We're edified. We're uplifted. But it's all about God, about serving Him, about worshiping Him, and about serving Him. And so here's the example that we need to follow on the part of Jesus, that I'll serve even if no one serves with me. And that type of service will work. It's work back home with the two ladies that I mentioned a while ago. And this type of service does not expect a pat on the back. You know, if we're doing it for that reason, is that I want recognition, I want a favorable response. The apostles did not understand that. Peter objected to it. But sometimes we fish for compliments. Another thing I've been guilty of, I tell you what, I didn't go into preaching until 1990. And I worked for a company before that. But when I went into preaching, I mean, I was a rookie, and I had a lot to learn, even though I'd been around preaching all my life from my father and grandfather. So some of my sermons weren't always that great. I mean, and sometimes even now I have a bomb that just doesn't work out real well. I hope it's not one of them. But it does happen sometimes to us. And that night I brought this sermon, and I knew I was having trouble getting it off the ground. But I finally felt like it finally did, and so I finished it out. And when I got in the car, our kids were with someone else that night going home, and just my wife and I were together. And I wasn't about to ask her how I did on my sermon, because I knew I didn't do very well, but she wanted to tell me. And if anyone's going to be honest with you, it'd be your wife. And sometimes you don't want that honesty, but it happened that night. And she said, "You know that sermon you did tonight?" And I said, "Yeah." I thought, "Here it comes." She said, "I wouldn't do that one again." And I said, "Well," and I'm getting ready to try to explain to her. She said, "See that trash can in front of our car? It was in a parking lot." She said, "I'd throw it in there." I said, "No." I said, "Vicki," I said, "I look at sermons, delivering a sermon, like taking off down the runway in a plane. Sometimes an airplane, it seems like it takes almost the entire runway before it'll lift, and sometimes the plane will just take off really quickly." And I felt like that sermon tonight, I took the entire runway, but it finally lifted. And she said, "Well, when it lifted, you left me on the ground." And so I thought, well, okay, I'm getting it. So I learned not to fish for a compliment from my wife, and I'm not about to. If she said that's a great lesson, you might want to use that again, I make a little marking on there. Whew, check mark, that's for my wife. The check mark stands for not just check, but V for Vicki. She liked. No, but I told my dad that story and about that sermon. He said, "Well, where'd you get it?" And I said, "Well, it was one of yours." He didn't even know the name of it, so I said, "Forget it. We won't even go there." But some may not recognize what we're doing when we're serving. And they may be critical. And they may just, there may be no thank you or anything. I noticed the other day when we were in the Biltmore, going through the Biltmore, we went into a different area this time than we did last year. We were in an area, and we actually walked in a room, and there were ladies in there that were dusting. I never had seen any of the workers in there actually working, except those that you may ask a question from them, but they were in there with their dusters, and they were dusting through all that. I thought, ooh, they got to be careful. They might knock something over and break it. But I wonder if anyone that's worked there, that someone did not particularly care for, didn't like them, and came in behind them, said, "You missed a spot," just being critical. Sometimes brethren act that way. "You missed a spot." Just critical. But what should our response be? "I'm going to serve anyway. I'm going to go ahead and do my best." Jesus did, even when the apostles did not understand it, because I want you to notice verse 7 that we read a few moments ago in John 13. He says, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Don't you know that those fellows later on recalled this event, this happening, when they were with him in the closing days of his life? He said, "You know, when we were with him, you remember how he washed our feet?" And he said, "I'm doing this, and you, I know you don't understand now, but I'm doing this so that you'll follow my example, that you'll do what I've done to you." And I believe we find that in some of the writings of the apostles. But we do find that, how we are to act and treat one another. See, this type of service is not just reserved for my friends. It's easy to serve people that you like. But what about those you don't maybe particularly care a whole lot about being around? You got to think about this, folks. We need to think about it. In this group was someone who was going to betray him. And Jesus knew it from the get-go. He knew there was someone there that he was going to be washing the feet of that was about to betray him, who was going to give him a kiss on the cheek later in the garden, a kiss of betrayal.
And Jesus, we find, he elevated his enemies who pretended to be his friends. He washed the feet of Judas as he washed the feet of Matthew and James and John and Peter and the rest of them. And we too must be willing to serve our enemies. And I have to say, that's tough. That's a tough order, to serve somebody who pretends to like you, to serve a pretender, and yet they're out to destroy you. And we may not even know it, but we know something's not right. I want you to notice in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 43 through 47. In the Sermon on the Mount, again, the words from Jesus as he preached the greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through chapter 7 of Matthew. But we find in chapter 5, verse 43, he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and despise you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so?" Romans 12. Notice in Romans 12 what the Apostle Paul said in this letter to the Christians in Rome. Romans 12, verse 17 through 21. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible." I've underlined that because I know it's not always possible to be at peace with people. But I know when I look at the next part, it says, "as much as depends on you." I know I better do all I can to be at peace. Even though it may not be possible, it says, "live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." My mother used to say to me and to my brother and my sister, when we were having a problem with someone, maybe a friend or maybe a teacher, and maybe we didn't particularly care too much for them. We thought maybe they were mistreating us. And my mother would say to us, like, just keep coals of fire on her head. And I said, "Mother, if I could, I would." She said, "No, you've missed the point. The point is, you be kind. Even though they may not be kind to you, you show kindness to them." And you know what? When I did, it wasn't near as a problem as I thought there was. So that's very, very important. You know, again, it's hard to serve a pretender, one who appears to be with us, like Judas appeared to be with Jesus and the apostles, and yet plotting against him. And yet he stoops to the hypocrite. And I tell you something I also learned from this, is what God and Christ have done for me. He stoops to wash the grime of sin off of me. And we're going to talk about that in the next hour. Are you washed in the blood? Oh, for me. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing part? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest this moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments. Are you washed?
Well, here's one final point. This type of service will make you look like a servant and be treated like one. When you think about Jesus getting up with that water basin and those towels, and if you were to walk in the room and you don't know who these fellows are that are in there, and someone was to ask you, who appears to be the servant here? What would you say? Well, the fellow that's down there on his knees with the water basin and those towels washing feet, he must be the servant. Well, in this case, we know who that person was. It was Jesus who had done that. And so when we practice this type of service, don't be surprised to be treated like a servant, to be questioned, to be criticized, and expected to do everything and not being appreciated. But when we adopt the role of a servant, be prepared. Just be prepared. You know, this type of service, the blessing is in doing it. And that's what he said in verse 17, the last verse we read in our text. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Happy are you if you do them. Learning and practicing what Jesus did. Let's close with this one final song, the servant song from your supplement. Number 97. And then we'll take a few moments before our next service. Do me, make me a servant, just like your son. For he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do. To make me a servant. Make me like you. Make me a servant. Take all my pride. For I would be lowly, humble inside. Thank you so much for your attention this morning.